Welcome to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I'm your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branching Minds team, here to lead conversations with educational leaders and experts. My hope is to share with you not only valuable insights and knowledge from leaders in education, but have fun while doing it and shine a light on phenomenal educators and those that are on a mission to transform our schools and the lives of students. There are all kinds of schools around the world based in different philosophies and ways of educating children. The Montessori method is just one of those different types, with hands-on learning, student choice, and small group-based instruction. Founded by Italian doctor Maria Montessori, this method is typically found in early education and private schools. But there are a small number of charter schools around the country that use this method of teaching. Today, we talk with Jennifer O'Connor and Jennifer Sessa from Island Village Montessori, a K-8 charter school within the Sarasota County School System in Florida. Jennifer O'Connor is the head of school for Island Village and has been in teaching and leading in the Montessori schools for 20 years. And Jennifer Sessa is the director of pupil support, working with special education staff. We talk about how MTSS and the Montessori philosophy are closely linked and how they lean into the differentiated instruction to help meet the needs of their diverse population. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Today on our podcast, we are excited to welcome some of Branching Minds' partners, and we have a couple of great educators here today. We have Jennifer O'Connor from Island Village Montessori, and Jennifer Sessa, which we'll call Jen, from Island Village. Jennifer Sessa is our director of pupil support, and Jennifer O'Connor is the head of school. And so I will let them both kind of introduce themselves a little bit and tell us about your school in general and just what you are excited about. And we'll get kind of dig into talking about MTSS and your school and things like that. But Jennifer, would you want to start us off and introduce yourself a little bit for the listeners?
Absolutely. My name's Jennifer O'Connor and I'm the head of school here at Island Village. Island Village is a charter school, so it's a Montessori school. So we follow the Montessori curriculum and philosophy. However, we are not a district school, but we are publicly funded as a charter school. So we're not under the umbrella, say, of the district. However, they sponsor us. So especially in the anything to do with special ed. But our school is, it's not part of a franchise. It's independently run by a small volunteer board. And we are, we basically manage our own little, a little village, essentially. Island Village.
Appropriately named. Jen, why don't you kind of introduce yourself and your role?
Okay. I'm Jennifer Sessa, go by Jen. I am the director of pupil support. In other words, special education coordinator. And I oversee to make sure that, like Jennifer said, we are publicly funded. Therefore, we do have to follow IDEA and all of that. I have been in education for 15 years. I have a master's in psychology focusing on behavior. So the behavior kids I get to see quite a bit too, but I oversee the special education staff and make sure that we're all in compliance and doing what we're supposed to be doing for the kids that need that extra help, and make sure of that. I do enjoy special education. I find it challenging, and helping kids and seeing them make progress is really why I got into it, because I'm a big advocate for mental health also. So that's a little bit about me.
Well, we're so glad to have you on the show and just kind of learn more about your school and highlight the work that you do. And so I would just love to learn a little bit about your school. How many students do you guys serve? And what are the grade levels at the school? I'll direct this to Jennifer.
Our school is about 570 kids in the K through eight. The Montessori part has been an interesting challenge. You know, Montessori, a lot of times you just associate it as a private school pedagogy, but it's actually blends. We've been doing this for 20 years at this school, so we've got a pretty good handle on how to blend, you know, how to be able to make Montessori fit into an environment where we're basically, you know, held to a high standard of accountability for our students. Mm-hmm. and how their needs are serviced, especially with regards to any intervention, special ed, and that type of.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, and that's kind of, I wanted to sort of ask you guys about that, about Montessori, and because I am somewhat familiar with it. I have some nieces and nephews that go to Montessori or have attended Montessori, mostly early preschool and early education based. And so it's a unique thing to hear about it as the K-8. And I'm curious about, so you both are kind of familiar with MTSS, you know, given that you are Branching Minds partners. And so I'm curious, I know as the director of pupil support, Jen, you probably have a little more, day-to-day facilitation of the MTSS side of things. Can you sort of like describe to me a little bit about your journey with MTSS and how you kind of like came to know more about it, and even just where you're at, if you would see it as like a continuum of like learning about MTSS, where would you say you fit on that?
A lot of it is already built into the Montessori way, where kids already have movement and they're able to choose their activities and things like that. And it's not so constricted as in the traditional public school. But then I have this other thing that I have to do called paperwork, because we're accountable for that paperwork that shows how we did the intervention process, how we did, you know, certain things, because that has to be in compliance with the district and the state. So I have to take those two things and combine them into one, which can be challenging, even though a lot of it's already built into our system anyway. Like I said, kids getting as much time as they need to do certain things, and trying to transition that into what would it look like if they went to a district school and all of that. So that's where the challenges come mm-hmm. in. So if I was to look at I think we're pretty comfortable because I've been here for 15 years. When I first started, it's been a process over the 15 years of getting it to a place where we feel comfortable at least providing intervention, getting the documentation that we need for the students that we have. But at times it hasn't been easy. The district, sometimes the requirements don't always fit in with us, and we have to always figure that out. So it's always a work in progress, I would say, but we're definitely a lot more comfortable than where we have come. So,
yeah. Well, and that makes sense. I think with Montessori, that can be just as a different way of the traditional school. So maybe for our listeners, would one of you want to maybe sort of describe the Montessori philosophy in a few short sentences? I know that may be hard, but, maybe not all our listeners are really familiar with that sort of the philosophy of Montessori. Jennifer, do you want to take that?
I can take that one. I would say that one of the hallmarks of Montessori has always been a child-centered environment. So we're not having, you know, especially in the younger grades, it looks a little bit more like a traditional school when you get into the middle school. As far as, you know, in the younger grades, sometimes you can go into a classroom with over 30 kids in it. And when it's really working, you have to work to find the teacher. Like the teacher will be usually on the floor with the kids, with a, you know, soft-spoken voice, going from child to child, explaining how the concrete materials work, because Montessori is one of the hallmarks of Montessori are those concrete materials, especially in math. Those materials, we'll see some of the same materials in the preschool as you will in the middle school, as far as the progression of, you know, from the very concrete to the abstract. So you have like a binomial cube, for instance. There's like an actual, it looks like a box with a puzzle. And then they are using that as more of a sensorial experience. And that actually turns into algebra later on. And the kids can make the connection like A squared plus B squared equals C. I remember that, you know. So in that way, it comes full circle. Another thing that's interesting is that Maria Montessori herself back in Italy, she was one of the first women physicians and was not allowed to actually practice her craft. So she sort of by accident or not really a plan ended up working with children in the asylums in Italy back sort of at the turn of the century. Asylums at that time, of course, were just kind of dumping grounds for any type of child, whether, you know, they could have just been orphaned or whatever, but that's where a lot of the special needs kids ended up. And she, through a scientific lens and through keen observation, made some very groundbreaking discoveries about how children learn. For the most part, when you are doing things for children, especially smaller children, you know, that's just removing an opportunity for them to learn something on their own. So there's a lot of trial and error, a lot of what they call practical life skills. You know, if you see our kids come to our school, you might see them washing windows or hammering nails or something like that, but it's actually not so random. And you know, Maria Montessori was really a pioneer in special education. She was the one that really pointed out the differentiated learning and the, you know, different learning styles. So in that way, it goes really perfectly with MTSS process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really great. I appreciated how you sort of connected that because, you know, I think with understanding different kinds of philosophies and of like how MTSS can really support that, you know, no matter the kinds of schools, you know, it really is about giving the students what they need, when they need it, how they need it. And so, I appreciated that connection. And so I guess in your experience, and in your school, I'd like to hear a little bit about ways that you feel like sometimes the MTSS process might be helping. Like if you have a specific example or story of ways that you feel like implementing the intervention and the MTSS and even just support would be, yeah, just an example of that, if you have that.
Well, I can speak to that. I mean, we have kids still today, especially today after everything going on in the world, they have socio-emotional needs. So my background being behavior, and I have another behavior specialist, we do an intervention for social skills class with those kids that might need a little bit more help in the classroom with regulating their emotions or different things, because we still see stuff like that. And we find that having that relationship with those students through a very small, directly taught social skills class can help them learn strategies, like when they feel upset or they're frustrated or different things like that in the classroom. So that intervention has been helpful with some of the students that we that still need that extra support in terms of whether they're not ready to do schoolwork, and then they're able to use those strategies in the classroom. We have seen kids not need that anymore after a while, but we're there to support them with a small instructional group. And we also do the same thing in reading, math. They all have these small groups where they get that attention that they need in those specific areas that they may be struggling in.
But I think that I'm curious about, you know, if there's others that out there that, you know, have maybe are working with the Montessori philosophy, or even, you know, thinking of like, is there a different way that we could do this in our school system or wherever, what would you say, so what would you want others to know about sort of integrating that, MTSS philosophy within a school that's a little bit different traditionally than the normal school, I would say. What would you recommend to people to like to think about that?
There are, well, in Florida anyway, there's a few other charter schools that have opened up, and all of them have their different way of doing things and their smaller settings. Truly, if I look at our school, and I know there's a couple other Montessori public school charter schools in Florida also. I still think like the Montessori philosophy takes into account, and it always has, that you're pulling the kids into smaller groups and teaching a lesson. So it's not anything new to the teachers per se, but it's the documentation piece really that is the harder thing for the teachers. It's the Montessori teachers here, or even the other charter schools that I've looked into. They have smaller, you know, settings and things like that. So it's a little bit easier, but in the Montessori way, the teachers are doing that anyway, because that's part of their philosophy, is pulling that smaller group, teaching a lesson. You have other kids in the classroom working independently, working on their work or doing something else. We also have technology. We're not only using just the Montessori materials, we've introduced technology into the classroom. So the kids have that piece also. So you have two teachers in a room, they could be doing lessons simultaneously, or one teacher's on the floor teaching a lesson and the other teacher is just monitoring the classroom management in the class, because that's really what it's supposed to look like. But pulling those small groups, giving those kids that attention. So then you have to also separate out then those kids that are struggling even with those concepts. And then you might have to pull them again at a separate time to either reteach that lesson or go over the skills that they're not getting, whether it's reading, math, writing. So I think in our case with Montessori, it's already built into it. And in those other programs, it should be built into it also, to pull those small groups, because those kids need that repetition of material, or they need to, you know, they need that time with the teacher to learn that skill. So.
Well, and you're right. I think that there is that the documentation piece sometimes is the hindrance, especially when a school's built around a certain philosophy and like, that's just the way of life. And in some ways that's great. Like, right. Cause MTSS really should be a way of life, but it's that layers of documenting and, you know, making sure you're tracking that. And that's that accountability piece that often, you know, and I would say that as a teacher of just like, you know, after a while, I didn't write out lesson plans in great detail because I was, you know, I just did it, right? It becomes second nature. It becomes part of what you do. But I think there is that level of accountability. And I think probably, you know, Jennifer can probably say this as like a head of school, of the person who talks to the higher ups and has to have the documents and the answers and stuff like that. You know, there is a piece of having having a procedure for documenting all that is really helpful, so that you can make sure that you are compliant and, you know, do all the things that you're supposed to do. So kind of like moving forward, what would you say, like, in the work that you're doing, is a goal that you have for your school and your community around, whether it can be around MTSS or just even the work of supporting students?
Well, I would like them be on grade level. That's a good goal.
No, that's always a good goal.
I think my goal always in special education is that, you know, those kids struggle, and we're just happy with, like, my goal for them is, you know, the skills and the strategies that we teach them is for their life. It's not just for them in third grade, let's say, okay, but it's stuff that they need to take with them because they have to become adults, and they have to, you know, go on to school if that's what they choose to do, or someday get a vocation. So when I talk to the teachers here, it's about teaching them, maybe not sometimes, yes, it's academic and we have to get them on grade level, but it's really about teaching those skills to deal with their disabilities or their skill deficits, and give them those strategies so that they have those coping strategies when they go on to school and they become functional adults. That's my goal for, you know, the special education. And I have seen kids who have gone here. I see them in high school, because my daughter's in high school. I see them still, and they come up to me and they're like, look what I'm doing. I'm going to college, or I'm doing this, or whatever they're doing. So to me, that's my goal. Jennifer?
I absolutely want to think of these, you know, children in the future. And I feel like I have a really good team here supporting that goal with Jen and the rest of our staff. My goal is more on the immediate, supporting the educators and making it clear to them that the MTSS process is already, it's very intuitive. They're already doing it. And this is more for the newer teachers. They are already making accommodations for the kids and differentiating instruction, making adjustments in the classroom, so that the students can be successful. And it's that part about capturing what you're already doing for the students to succeed in a way that parents can understand. Because if we don't have parents on our side, you know, we're all on the child side, but we as a school need the parents to support us. And some parents just don't understand anything that we're doing really in the classroom, or that they don't have, you know, 30 other kids to compare their child to know that their child may have a deficit. We really need to support our educators. You know, we just need to hold each other up and understand everyone's doing their hardest, you know, work. And especially lately, you know, it's really, there seems like there's obstacles everywhere we go. And, but I feel like we're doing a really good job, being inclusive and trying new strategies, you know. And
yeah. And I think that's really key, is part of, you know, bringing in the parents can be a challenge, right? I always felt like parents brought in their own school experience and sort of their own school baggage, I guess, in a way to meetings, especially if their student is struggling, because they're often at their limit of understanding of what they can do to help their student. You know, and I've had those meetings with parents where it's clear, where it's like, this isn't about me, or the school year. This is about, what they can do to help. And I think, partnering with parents, like having the ability to partner with parents and really make it clear and communicate of, like, these are all the things we're doing. We want your student to be successful. We want, you know, it's not us against you. We're all on the same team. I like that you said that, because we are really all on the same team to help students. And that's hard, and it takes a lot of work. And so, you know, I know that especially this time of year isn't the easiest time of year as educators anyways. And I'm sure that there's always more and more challenges to that. So I'm going to direct this last question to Jen. For you specifically on the support side, what's exciting to you about the work that you're doing?
It's exciting when I see the kids make progress and the teachers feel proud of that, because sometimes, as Jen said, we have to support the educators, and sometimes working with those struggling students can be tiring for teachers right now, because there's more than what we're used to, I think, you know, between the COVID time and kids just being behind and all of that. But I celebrate, like, we had the test scores come in, and I wanted to celebrate with some of the teachers for some of those special ed kids that we have worked with, and, you know, trying to get them to make progress, and they did, and we saw it, and we see the end result from that. I want everybody to feel that, and not, you know, I know it's hard to work with those kids that are struggling, and sometimes you feel defeated, but I don't want them to. I want them to feel supported, but I also want those kids to feel like, hey, I can do something, because, you know, being different and learning differently can also affect the child too, their self-esteem. We always want to make sure we're building them up so they understand that people learn differently, and it's okay, that we're here to help them and figure that out, figure out what works for them, and so that they can continue in their education.
Yeah, that's really great. I could probably talk to you guys all day. I love learning about different schools, and it's really fun to learn about Montessori. It's a different type of school, I think, that many people are familiar with. And, but I want to sort of end on a fun note. So you both have been in schools a long time. And you can speak to your favorite memory as a teacher, or even as a student, of like a favorite memory you have about your school experience, or about just being an educator. Do you have a favorite memory that comes to mind?
This was probably, it was one of the first years of the state with the mandatory state testing. We were taking it very seriously. The whole school was silent. We got the parking lot blocked off. I mean, we were on lockdown quiet as a pin, and two hot air balloons came out of nowhere and landed in the middle of the playground.
I remember that.
We weren't sure what to do. Is this some kind of attack? Like, we had no idea this was happening. And of course, as far as our quiet commute, you know, our quiet school, that pretty much we had to call the school district, because, you know, you have to call with any irregularities. And we had to say, two hot air balloons just landed in the property. And they were like, okay, never heard that one before. So that was one I will always remember.
Oh my God.
And they just popped in to say hi.
I love that you're like, are we being attacked by a hot air balloon? The most ineffective
way. Under attack. What's going on here?
That's pretty amazing. I love that. That's a great thing. And what a memory for kids. I bet those kids remember that. Mm-hmm. They're like, remember that day, St. Jesse, with hot air balloons? Jen, do you have any favorite memories that come to mind?
let me think. Well, like I said, I did run into one of my favorite ESE students when he was in high school, and he came back to visit here, and he just came up to me, and he really didn't think, because his family was illiterate, so he had the Spanish as well as a learning disability on, you know, all of these things. And when he was so nervous about going to high school and everything. And then he met my son there and played football and did all these things. And he's like, I'm not going to go to college though. And then he came back here and he was one of the ones that said, hey, I'm going to the community college, which I, you know, which is great. And he thanked me and gave me a big hug and he looked so happy. And he just grew up and he was one of my favorite students because he was always so polite and kind and just, you know, did his thing, but he had no help or support at home. And I was just happy to see that, you know, he was taking that plunge because we worked with him like since third grade. So,
Yeah. Oh man, you're gonna make me cry. That's like,
yeah, he was a sweetie.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. I'm so glad to hear that. And, you know, I just think that it's just wonderful to like hear those kind of fun memories and like the good, you know, I think that we don't sometimes the practice of really like kind of counting some of those really great memories is so important. I have just enjoyed this conversation and I'm just so thankful that you guys were willing to chat and share a little bit about your school. And so thank you so much for chatting with me.
Well, thank you for inviting us.
Thanks for listening to School and Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to hear all our future episodes. As well, if you're enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcast on iTunes? This helps others find our podcast and let us know how much you love what we're creating. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. To learn more about us, check out our website, branchingminds.com, or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn at Branching Minds.